The fifth Sunday of Lent, our English tradition calls Passion Sunday. The collect and readings underline the Lord's experiences and thoughts during his final days in and around Jerusalem. How might we describe his experiences? Is there, say, one word which sums up what was going on with Jesus as he resolved to engage in what some Bibles characterizing the sweep of episodes in the Gospels as the final conflict? Today's reading from the fifth chapter of the letter to the Hebrews gives us a possible answer to that question. One word which sums up Jesus' experience, and that word is obedience. To that word, the writer of Hebrews links Jesus' experience of reverent submission to God, a submission which leads him along the path of confrontation, capture, and self-offering through suffering. And through that obedient, priestly self-offering, Jesus becomes, the writer to the Hebrews tells us, the source of salvation. And the spirit of those verses we heard from Hebrews in the fifth chapter, it resonates so harmoniously with the well-known hymn in the second chapter of St. Paul's letter to the Philippians, which we'll hear next week, that one has to wonder if the author of Hebrews might have known that hymn which St. Paul quotes. Both highlight Jesus' obedience and see the marvelous extent of his obedience in the fact that such obedience, even unto death, the death of the cross, involved Jesus' intentional laying aside of the powers and prerogatives of his self-declared oneness with his Heavenly Father. And what we see in these final weeks of his life, and the final week in particular, is the gradual diminishment and curtailment of Jesus' works and teachings. Jesus' decision to set his face toward Jerusalem for the final conflict involved, ironically we might think, his submission to his Father's plan for him, which in turn involved, and this surely is ironic, the treacherous and brutal plans of Jesus' enemies in the religious and political establishments. Put it another way, and in the present tense, as Jesus moves to the religious and political center, that is Jerusalem and its corridors of power, at the same time, Jesus goes to the edge. On the one hand, the center, on the other, the edge. And by edge, I mean that Jesus is captured, silenced, brutalized in word and deed, judged guilty, mocked, scourged, and then hung up to dry, flapping in the wind. Would he, or indeed anyone, have anticipated that 3 years earlier? No. His obedience to the Father's will leads him to the edge. And at that edge, he is poised over an abyss, the abyss of death, well, which awaits us all. And into that abyss, he will fall. The price of his obedience, the cost for our salvation. Now let's consider Jesus in another guise, in his sacred body, the church. At noon today, we will hold the annual meeting of our congregation. It's our canonical duty, and the occasion to record, as much as words and numbers can do, our congregation's life and health, its witness and standing. It's also our chance to say thank you and welcome aboard to those who have and will work hard to maintain and redevelop our church, to order, enhance, and beautify our worship, to nurture our tradition of music, to extend our pastoral care and outreach. And any aware and thoughtful person must have wondered just 2 years ago whether any of those worthy endeavors would, so to speak, come back to life after the pandemic. I certainly wondered that. Our doors were shut to misquotes in John for fear of the virus. But life has returned, and so we give thanks. Our robust services and hosted events, Abingdon Artists last week, you know, hundreds over the threshold, make us feel that St. Helens is back where she belongs, at the center of our community. We are, after all, the historic parish church. But there lies the paradox. We aim and work to return our church to the center, while, and this is what Holy Week and Easter witness year on year, while our Lord leads us to the edge. Center, where we want to be, edge, where he is going. Do you see the paradox? He leads us not to the place and occasions of plaudits, good order. I like good order. Representative governance and worldly success, comfort and confidence, be that measured by footfall, statistics for mission, or budgetary muscle. He leads us from those concerns, which are always the concerns at the center. He leads us to the edge. Now, I've been pursued in recent weeks by words of Père Couturier, which I came across in the course of research on my new book on Matisse. And his words are all the more memorable when one realizes how ardently he himself was working to renew the witness of his own French church after the devastations of the World War. "We mustn't deceive ourselves about it," he wrote. "The gospel is an extreme. It is an extreme," he went on, "because it is placed at a non-negotiable extremity, so that we have an absolute freedom in the world. Whatever the world gives, offers, or imposes, we are beyond it. And it is a mistake to believe that the church is at the world's center. It is always at the edge of the world. In all things, its place is there where the world ends and where the eternal and the infinite begin. And it's in that spirit and with that mind that Passion Sunday resets the church's trajectory. The church's navigational map becomes the way of the cross. She journeys from the center to the edge with her Lord, and in the words and actions of now looming Holy Week. And so does every Christian who takes the time and exerts the energy to walk that way. All we do or don't do to make our church welcoming, vibrant, beautiful, eco, or anything else, is not to assert how up-to-date we are and how congruent our worshiping, thinking, and behaving are with what the world around us expects of a venerable and moral institution. All we are and do as the body of Christ, so far as our reliance on grace enables, is to witness to a mysterious transaction. And the transaction I mean is the transaction which the Lord Jesus himself took part in. His mysterious readiness to bow to his Father's will and accept all that that meant, even to the apparent annihilation of his oh so rich ministry, and indeed the annihilation of himself. Simply put, to go to the world's edge, where no right-minded earth dweller would prefer to go. All else, our successes, our failures, our strengths, our frailties, are, as St. Paul might put it, offscourings, rubbish, unless everything we do can encourage and accompany people to the world's edge. There to be met by the world's life-giving Lord. For where the Lord is, there should his servants be also. Amen.